Matthew chapter 13, we read a couple verses from it, but if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you'll find that Jesus is sitting beside the seaside. A great crowd gathers, and so he gets on a ship and sits in that ship, and the Bible says, speaks to the crowd that was gathered around the shore of the sea, gathered around the shore of the lake. He spake to them in parables. And of course, you know a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly lesson. It's a story that is something that's told about something that's familiar here on this earth, but it teaches us something about the kingdom of God. And Jesus, I think, was a great, great storyteller. And I'm glad that he's told stories because it helps me understand things about the kingdom of God that I would not understand unless he had told those parables and told those stories. I had a person, and it wasn't Brother Jack, but I had a person a couple weeks ago that said to me, he said, "Preacher, you must work really hard to make your messages so simple." And I told him, I said, "No, I don't have to work hard at all. I'm just a simple person, and so you end up with simple messages." Somebody asked me one time, "Where'd you learn to preach?" I said, "I learned to preach in junior church, preaching to fourth through sixth graders, and I learned the KISS method of preaching. Keep it short and keep it simple." And so I'm glad that Jesus told stories because most of them were short and most of them were simple. And in Matthew chapter 13, there's four or five different parables, four or five different stories, and they all deal with the same subject. They all deal with sharing the gospel. They all deal with sowing the gospel seed. The first parable that he tells is about a sower who sows some seed, and he says it fell on different kind of ground. Some of it fell by the wayside, and the birds came and ate up the seed off of the wayside. He sowed some other seeds, and some fell in stony places. And it sprang up, but because it was in stony places, the roots weren't very deep, and when the sun came out, it withered away. He sowed some more seed, and some fell among the thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked what was trying to grow from the seed. And so all of those seeds that he talks about that fell into the first three types of soil, there was no results. There was no crops. There was no harvest. But then he said that the sower sowed some seeds, and some fell on good ground, and it brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And Jesus explained the parable to his disciples. He said, the seed is the word of the gospel, the seed of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the apostle Paul says, that is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to a couple weeks when we get to celebrate in a special way on Easter Sunday morning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the seed that the sower sowed is the gospel. The ground represents those that hear the gospel. And here's the point of that parable. We don't know who's going to get saved and who's not when we sow the gospel seed. We don't know those who the gospel will take no root at all in. We don't know those who are represented by the stony ground who takes root but not very deep and they wither away quickly. Nor do we know those that are represented by the seed that's sowed where the weeds or the tares choke them out. Nor do we know those that are represented by the good ground who hear the gospel, get saved, and then go on and reach others for Jesus Christ. And so our job, as we hear that parable, and as we hear Jesus explain it, our job, my job, your job, is just to sow. Our job is to plant the gospel seed. Our job is to tell people about Jesus Christ. We are not called to be soil inspectors. We are not called to say, hey, this person is hard ground, or this person is stony ground, or this person is weedy ground, or this person is good ground. We are not to inspect the soil. We are just to sow. We are to spread the gospel seed. We are to tell people about Jesus Christ. I know this. I know that God wants everybody to hear the gospel. I know that God wants everybody to be saved. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's why he says in Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to tell you tonight that my God did not pick and choose. God did not say, hey, here's a group of people that I have already determined that are going to hell. Here's a group of people that I've already determined are going to heaven. God's not willing that anybody should perish. And I believe that heaven is big enough so that if every person got saved, there'd be room in heaven for them. There's Calvinism that's creeping into Baptist churches. Bill and I were talking a little bit about it this morning. I already knew I had it in my sermon tonight, so I was excited that he brought it up. But there's Calvinism creeping into Baptist churches, and I want you to know I do not believe in Calvinism. I do not believe that God has predestinated some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. If I believe that, then I would tell you we have no responsibility to share the gospel. Because if God's determined they're going to go to heaven, I don't need to go do anything. If God's determined they're going to go to hell, I might not waste my time and witness to somebody that's already going to hell. But I don't know. And I believe that God gives everybody the chance to be saved. And people go to hell because they choose not to receive Jesus Christ. And so our responsibility is not to inspect the soil, is not to say, hey, this is hard soil, this is rocky soil, and this is thorny soil. That's not our job. Our job is not to say, hey, this is good ground, I'm going to go after this one. Our job is just to sow the seed. Our job is to scatter the seed. And so don't get discouraged. I mean, when you go to a person and tell them about Jesus Christ and no root takes hold, or the root is shallow and dries up, or the cares of the world choke it out, don't get discouraged. Just keep sowing. Just keep scattering the seed, because sooner or later, some of your seed will hit good ground. Sooner or later, some of your seed will make a difference in a person's life, and they'll get saved, and they'll see many, many people come to Jesus Christ. Brother Ferris was telling me about the service, and I hadn't planned to use this, but it fits right in. He said Georgette was out one day knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus. And she came across a man that came to the door and said, I was about to commit suicide. I was about to kill myself. God sent you to my door. And she was with another lady, and he invited them to come in. And they said, no, we're not going to come in, but we'll send somebody back to tell you about Jesus. And they sent some men back, and he got saved. Right, Georgette? He got saved. And again, our job is not to inspect the soil. Our job is to sow the seed. Our job is to tell people about Jesus Christ. And again, don't get discouraged. God, sooner or later you'll hit that good ground, and somebody will get saved, and God will use them in a mighty way for his kingdom. When Mr. Kimball went to a shoe store to tell one of the boys in his Sunday school class about Jesus Christ, it was in Chicago, and he went to the manager of the shoe store and said, hey, one of your clerks is in my Sunday school class. I've had a burden on my heart to tell him about Jesus. Could I take him in the back room for just a few minutes and spend some time talking to him? And the owner of the shoe store was a Christian. He said, sure, you go ahead and take him. And he took that young man in the back of the shoe store, told him about the love of Jesus Christ, told him that he was a sinner, told him that he needed to receive Christ as his Savior, and that young man got saved. His name was Dwight L. Moody. and Dwight L. Moody took hold of North America, took hold of Europe, and shook it for God. And there were literally thousands of people saved under the ministry of D.L. Moody, all because there was a Sunday school teacher that said, my job is to sow the seed. My job is to scatter the seed. I'm not going to be a soil inspector. I'm going to be a sower. And he went and told this young man about Jesus Christ. Jesus told a second parable in Matthew chapter 13. It has the same point. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that sowed good seed in the field. While the man slept, an enemy came and sowed tares. The seed sprang up, both the wheat and the tares. The servants saw it, and they came to the master and told him what had happened. And the master said, an enemy has done this. And the servants said, well, master, do you want us to go out into the field and pull up the tares? Do you want us to go out into the field and pull up the wheat or the weeds? And the master said, no, if you pull up the weeds, if you pull up the tares, you might also root up the wheat. Let them both grow, and at the harvest time, we'll separate them. We'll separate the tares from the wheat. And Jesus explained this parable as well. He said, God's the sower. Satan is the enemy. The wheat represent the children of the kingdom. The tares represent the children of the wicked one. The harvest is the end times. And here's the point. I don't have to figure out who's saved and who's not. God knows that, and at the end, he will do the separating. And so just like I'm not supposed to be a soil inspector, I'm also not to be a soul inspector. My job is just to sow the seed. My job is to scatter the seed. My job is not to figure out, well, this person really did get saved or this person really didn't get saved. I mean, I can look at a person's life, and if he doesn't bear fruit for Christ, I can keep preaching to him like he's a sinner. But I'm not the one responsible for figuring out who's saved and who's not. That's God. And at the end, he'll separate the wheat from the tares. Now, there's a couple other parables before we get to my sermon tonight. I'm still in my introduction, so just hang on for a little bit. There's a couple other parables that Jesus told as we get down to the verses that we read a moment ago. One's about a mustard seed, and one's about leaven. And again, I won't go into detail for sake of time tonight, but it's the same point. We need to just keep sowing. We just need to keep scattering the seed. The Bible says that the mustard seed is the smallest seed of all. But it turns into a tree where the birds come and lodge in the branches. We need to sow the seed, the little seed of the gospel, in the little hearts of children. We need to get them while they're young. We need to get them while they are small. The Bible says we need to be saved with childlike faith, and it's so sweet to see a little child, when they hear the gospel, just with an open heart, receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bow their head and pray, God, save me, I'm a sinner. And how sweet it is to take that little mustard seed of the gospel and put it into the little heart of a child. And then the leaven. Jesus talked about the leaven. A little bit of leaven, it affects the whole lump. And the point of that a parable is that we need to keep sowing, because if we get one, we're liable to get the whole family. If we get one person in the family, we're liable to get the whole family. I went to a Gideon pastor appreciation dinner on Friday night. And I was a little bit apprehensive, because I usually go with Gene and Strelia to these occasions. And, of course, they're still down in Florida. And I thought, well, here I'm going to go, and I'm not going to know anybody at this banquet. And so I walk in, and I'm sitting right next to a guy that I worked with for years and years and years. I had no idea he was a Gideon. And so the Lord just worked it out. I had a wonderful time catching up with him. But they had a lady there from North Carolina, and she shared her testimony. She says, I got divorced. I had two daughters and a son. I sent my son to live with his dad because all three of the kids were having trouble. She said, my two daughters got into trouble and they both went to jail. She said, I had to support myself, and so I joined a rock band. And I went into different nightclubs and I sang. And because we were on the road all the time, I would stay in hotels. And I went into this one hotel. And you know what's in a hotel? A little Gideon Bible. I picked up that Gideon Bible and I started to read the Gospel of John. And she says, I got saved. I got saved from that little Bible. She said, the next night I went to the nightclub and I wanted to share with everybody what happened to me. So at the nightclub, I started talking about Jesus. And I got fired. And she says, it was the best thing that happened to me. And I don't have time to tell you her whole story. But she went home. Both of her daughters got saved. Her mom and dad got saved. Her son got saved. Even her ex-husband got saved. All because one person picked up a little Bible and read the Word of God and read about the Savior and got saved. So we need to keep sowing. Now, we come to our text. We come to verses 45 and 46. And I know there's a couple other parables. I'm just going to not even mention them for sake of time. Where the Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I think the lesson from this parable is consistent with the others in this chapter. It's consistent because it says, my job is just to sow. I do not have to pick and choose who I sow to. I'm to sow to everybody. I don't wait until I find the next Moody or the next Spurgeon. I don't wait until I find somebody where I think, boy, this person is going to do something great in the kingdom of God. I'm going to do my best to get him or to get her. No, my job, again, is not to inspect the soil. My job is not to inspect the soul. My job is not to inspect the potential of the person who might get saved. My job is to sow the seed to everybody. Everybody. I would point out to you that the merchant man wasn't looking for a pearl of great price when he found it. He was doing what he did every day, looking for goodly pearls. He was doing what he was supposed to do every day, looking for goodly pearls. And when he was doing what he was supposed to do every day, the Bible said that he found a pearl of great price. There's too many Christians that wait for the pearl of great price before they get involved. There's too many Christians that are looking for the next Moody or the next Spurgeon or the next great Christian that's going to do something for God before they share the gospel. I want to tell you tonight, that's like going fishing and saying, until I see a fish that weighs 20 pounds, I'm not even going to throw my line into the water. I mean, if you went fishing with that attitude, you will catch nothing. I mean, if you wait until you see a great big fish before you throw your line in, you're probably not going to catch anything. And what we need to do is just throw the line in, go fishing. We may never catch a big one, but if you throw your line in, you'll catch a bunch of little ones. Amen. And a bunch of little ones can do a great work in the kingdom of God. How do you think it worked for David? You think David got up one day and said, hey, I'm going to get up today and I'm going to go kill me a giant. I've been wanting to kill a giant my whole life, and I'm getting up today because I know this is the day that I'm going to kill a giant. That's not how it worked. David got up and said, Dad, Jesse, his dad, said, Dad, what do you want me to do today? And Jesse said, I want you to go watch the sheep. And David said, yes, sir. And he went out into the field and watched the sheep. He came back, went to bed, got up the next morning, said, Dad, what do you want me to do today? And Jesse said, I want you to go watch the sheep. David said, yes, sir. He went out into the field to watch the sheep. He got up the next morning, did the same thing, did what he was supposed to do. Went to his dad and said, Dad, what do you want me to do today? He said, David, I got something different I want you to do today. Your brothers are in the army. Your three older brothers are in the army. I want you to go see how they're doing. I want you to take this cheese to the captain of the host, and I want you to find out how your brothers are doing. And so he goes to where the battle's being fought. He hears this. And again, he went there because he was doing what he did every day. He was obeying his father. He was doing what Jesse told him to do. He got there to hear this giant, this heathen giant, challenging God and challenging the people of God. And he said, why didn't somebody go fight this guy? Why didn't somebody go tell this giant and show this giant what kind of God we have? And you know the story as well as I do. His oldest brother said, David, just be quiet. I know you only came here to see the battle. Just shut up. Be quiet. You're just a shepherd boy. Fighting in this army is a man's business, and fighting Goliath is certainly a man's business. You can't do it. You're just a child. King Saul told him the same thing. When David made known that he was going to go fight the giant, King Saul told him, you can't go fight this guy. He's a man of war. You're just a boy. You're a youth. You can't go fight this giant. And David said to both of them, look, I didn't come to kill this giant. I came here in obedience to what my dad told me to do. But is there not a cause? And he went out and in the name of the Lord took his slingshot, slung that stone, and God directed that stone and hit Goliath in the only place that he didn't have armor and killed him dead. Well, the stone didn't kill him, but cutting off his head did finish the job. Here's my point tonight. Our job, and I only got one point tonight. Be glad because it's almost 7 o'clock. But here's my point tonight. My job is to be faithful in sowing the seed. The pearls of great price. Those people that do great things for God. The big victories in our Christian life don't come when I go looking for them. They come when I do every day what I'm supposed to do. Now, let me give you a couple examples and I'm done. I never set out to preach a great sermon. I want my sermons to be helpful. I want them to point people to Jesus Christ. I want to get Christians to want to be more like Him. And every once in a while, I think it's like once every 10 years, I come up with what some people have told me is a great sermon. If you weren't here for it, maybe if you stay around long enough, there might be another one. But if there is never a great sermon that comes across this pulpit, I will keep preaching because God can use the non-great sermons to accomplish a lot of good in the kingdom of God. I have not set out and led you to build a big church. I want our church to be a church that loves people. I want our church to be a church that cares for one another. I want our church to be a church that helps people. I want our church to be known as a church that prays and God hears and answers our prayers. And if our church gets big, that's okay. But if it doesn't get big, that's okay with me too. Because being the church that God wants us to be and caring for people can get a lot accomplished in the kingdom of God. My objective, and I'm not trying to set out to be well known. I do not seek fame. I want to be your pastor. I want you to feel my love. I want to weep when you weep. I want to laugh when you laugh. I want to have a part in raising your children and pointing them to Jesus Christ. I want a part in raising your grandchildren and pointing them to Jesus Christ. I want a part in directing them to live for Jesus Christ. And that is my desire. Being your pastor is my greatest calling. There is nothing else in my life that's more important than what I do in this place. And it's what I get up every morning and try to do. And if God sends along a pearl of great price, so be it. But if He never does, we can get a lot done for the kingdom of God by doing every day what we're supposed to do. Amen. Sow the seed. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me sow the seed for you tonight. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is to be separated from God forever. There's nothing you can do on your own to pay the price for your sin, except pay the price. Die and be separated from God forever and ever and ever. But here's the gospel. Here's the good news. on the cross, God laid on His Son every one of our sins. He paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for your sin. You as an individual, He paid the price for your sin. And if you'll trust Him, if you'll receive from Him what He did for you on Calvary, He'll save you. He'll make you part of His family. He'll make you just as if you've never sinned. You will stand before Him dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ without one sin on your record. Now again, it's not of works. There's nothing you can do to attain that position except come to Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, I invite you to come tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for these stories that Jesus told that remind us of what our responsibility is in sharing the gospel. And I pray, Father, that we would be faithful in doing every day what You've called us to do. Help us to be just like David. Get up in the morning and say, Dad, what do You want me to do today? And when You tell us, help us to just say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And get about doing it. Father, I pray tonight if there is somebody here that's never received Christ, that they would come now and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to receive Him. Just bless this time of invitation. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.